Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Happy weekend and welcome to another edition of Focus on Community. How you doing? I'm Frank Rush. By the way, don't forget, if you miss any part of today's program or you heard something and you thought, did I hear that right? Well, you can always head to our webpage and you can download it and listen to it as a podcast. It'll be posted there for all eternity. Our guests today, Gloria Wetnight and Ryan Keller. They are from Thrive. Is it Thrive West Central? Is that it?
Thrive West Central.
Okay, which used to be something totally different.
West Central Indiana Economic Development District.
Okay, so we went to slightly large mouthful to just. So what did that really change when you went from West Central down to Thrive? What did that really do besides just change the name? Anything?
Well, it focuses more on what we do in the community as a whole agency. Mm-hmm. We help people thrive. We help businesses thrive. So that's the focus, is we're looking to help West Central Indiana thrive.
Did it really change what you do or just kind of help describe more of what you do?
No, it doesn't change anything that we do. We still work with economic development, community development, and the Area Agency on Aging.
Gloria Wetnight, so what is it you actually do with Thrive?
What do I do? Yeah. I'm the Senior Business Development Strategist, so I work with our business development director on working with business development. On my part is with the aging programs. He works with the economic development.
And when you talk about the aging programs, that was what, Area 7 Agency on Aging, I think was the original name of that. Am I right there?
We are the designated Area 7 Agency on Aging for West Central Indiana, yes.
Okay, so then the programs with that, what's in your basket when it comes to that? What are the programs that you have to deal with?
We have the ADRC, which is the Aging and Disability Resource Center. That's the location where you can call and you can get assistance and direction and information about services that are available in the community. No matter what it is that you need help with, then we can connect you with that appropriate business.
And you stay busy because there's a lot of things that really kind of fall under your umbrella there, right?
Oh, yes. We have case management. We have home delivered meals. We have congregate meals. We have transportation. So we're in the community doing a lot of different things.
Anybody that's ever had to deal with elderly, and I've been one of them, and I mentioned this to you off the air, and that is you usually wind up dealing with parents, grandparents, or other relatives, or just friends, whatever, or somebody that's in your neighborhood. You realize, well, these folks need some help, and they've got some things going on in their lives as they get older. Okay, there are groups and agencies and answers and solutions to problems that you're going to run into, but a lot of folks have no idea what questions to ask, let alone who to go talk to and who to ask the questions. But that's where you guys come in.
That's correct. If they contact us, we are able to connect them or even assist them in making those connections in the community, whatever it be. Some people just call us to ask us for a phone number. Sometimes they need assistance themselves, or a family member is contacting us for their loved one needing assistance with bathing, dressing, meal prep, whatever it be, then we can make those connections for them.
And you guys can more than answer questions. You can get a little bit more active if the situation warrants, right?
That's correct. We have different funding sources that come into our agency, and so we're able to, for those that qualify, to connect them with actual services and set them up with us assisting with payment sources.
I don't know if you know this or not. I'm sure there's probably a number in somebody's file cabinet somewhere, but how many people do you wind up helping yearly? I mean, this is an aging population here in our part of the state. We've talked about that before, that we're all getting a little bit older. So how many folks do you help out?
With every phone call, every transportation connection that we made, everybody last year, we just had this number. We did it. We made connections with a little over 35,000 people.
Holy cow. That's a lot of folks. Now, how are you guys actually funded? I mean, nothing in life's free. So where does your funding come from to do all these jobs?
The services that we currently, with the Area Agency Division, we contract with the Family and Social Services Administration, with the state of Indiana. We receive some funding, and then we also are a Medicaid waiver provider.
And who actually oversees you? I mean, you're here in Terre Haute and all that, but I mean, there's a chain of command that goes somewhere. So when we go on up the ladder from you, where do we go?
Right. We are actually committed to the Aging Division of the Indiana Department of Family and Social Services.
Okay. All right. Ryan Keller, executive director of the group out there. Now, you're kind of a newbie here to this job anyway. You're from the area, though, aren't you?
Yes, that's correct. I grew up in Clay County.
So, okay, so you're no stranger to what goes on around here. Then you kind of know where the stoplights are at and all that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. I've been through town a time or two.
If I go say, hey, go down there one block, turn toward me, then turn toward you, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Absolutely.
So how did you get this job, and why did you want this job?
So that's a great question. I would say I was very fortunate, very lucky. That's probably how I got this job. Prior to this, I was working for an educational nonprofit up out of Indianapolis, where we were doing virtual curriculum development, and we were all across the country.
Which is something that's very popular right about now with the pandemic and everything. This whole virtual, if it says virtual, it's very popular, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I had a wonderful, terrific experience doing that. I was looking, to be looking for something a little closer to home because I was commuting back and forth to the north side of Indianapolis. I live here in Clay County, and I had done that drive for several years, and I have small children, so I was looking for a way that I could still continue a very rewarding career, giving back, helping folks, and this job happened to come open, and I just interviewed, and it seemed to be a really good fit, and it was a fascinating kind of organization, and it was so diverse in what it did. Everything from economic to community development to transportation planning, and then also the Area Agency on Aging. So it was going to be quite the challenge, and I love challenges.
What got you ready for this job? Because it does encompass a lot of things, and I'm sure there's not a college course out there that says director of Area 7 or something like that. So, I mean, how did you get ready for this?
I really have to say it's kind of a combination of just my prior career experience. So leading a nonprofit prior was really helpful. I completed my master's degree in leadership development and not-for-profit organizations through St. Mary of the Woods back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And that had really kind of put me on that trajectory for working in that nonprofit world. And so
many people have you got that work for you now.
We, I think I'd say generally on average, we have around 45 folks that work directly for the agency.
Mm-hmm. And that keeps you busy.
It does.
That's a lot of people to talk to. And so what's your goal for this job? Has the job itself been around for a while, but maybe under a different name? Because I'm trying to think who actually held this job before you, and I don't remember.
So my predecessor was a gentleman named Ron Hinzenkamp. He was the executive director of West Central Indiana Economic Development District prior.
The whole name change is part of where I'm losing people
and that's,
here.
Probably it. Yeah. So yes, yeah. As Gloria mentioned, we really were trying to find one, a name that was less than a mouthful, and then two, something that really embodied what it is that we do and bring to the community. So when you distill it down to its purest form, all of our programs, no matter which division they're in, really are designed to help all communities and all individuals thrive and lead more prosperous lives. So that's kind of the evolution from that long name into a much shorter name of Thrive or Thrive West Central. This job's been around, and we were around as an organization. We were established in 1968. The Area Agency on Aging became a part of that organization. It was originally established as an economic development organization through the Economic Development Administration in 1968, and then the Area Agency on Aging joined the cause in 1974, and then we have basically been that same organization since then.
Nobody takes a job without wanting to do something to put their mark on it. So I'm not going to necessarily ask you to paint a picture of what's bad and what's wrong, but what is it you want to do to make things better with this group?
Again, another phenomenal question.
Kind of like a job interview here, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. I should have polished up my resume. Yeah. Terrific question. There's a lot of things that I have my sights set on, so to speak, but probably the more, the more top of the list, the more prevalent causes are finding ways that we can really connect with individuals who are in need or communities who are in need and get our resources and programs to them to help them lead, you know, a more engaging, thriving, fulfilling life. And then also do it at the, I like to mention this, the lowest possible cost. So the reason that a lot of our groups around the state were set up was to help be a conduit from state and federal sources to local communities and individuals, and to also be able to save taxpayers money. And that's really where our organization plugs in, is the resources, the way we have them set up and the way we're directed to roll out programs really do save taxpayers money in the long run.
And we like that.
And everybody likes that. Yeah. It's easy to get behind that cause.
When we talk about your organization, you talk about saving money, that kind of stuff, what kind of budget we talk about? What does it take to run your group?
So the last, the budget for this year is around $5 million. Mm-hmm. And that encompasses all of our programs. So we're operating on about a $5 million budget with all of our contracts. I'm hoping with, you know, with a lot of hard work and a lot of great connections that we're going to be over 7, 8, 10 million in the years to come, the next 3 to 5 years. So the more resources that we're able to get, the more we in turn can turn around and give those right back to the communities and individuals in West Central Indiana.
I'm not sure which one of you would actually be a good one to answer this, so I'll just kind of throw it out there and let whoever wants to take it. With that kind of a budget, that's a nice dollar amount, you know, but you're, but you said what, 37,000 people, whatever, that you helped in, you know, in the past, which, okay, not a bad thing, bang for the buck. But do you do all this yourself, or do you subcontract out to other vendors to supply some of these services to people? I mean, how does that, how does the thing all come together?
Well, and the 35,000 is just on the area agency side. On the economic and community development, they would have helped a lot more people.
Right.
I mean, because they're working with businesses and communities out there, so that would even be a higher number. But we do, we subcontract memorandum of agreement with other vendors, so we keep a lot of other people employed too. Home health agencies, economic development, you're working with bringing economic development to the community, so you're working with businesses here, even in our town here in Brazil. You know, you've got companies like, I don't want to start name dropping because then I'll miss somebody and they'll be upset. But, you know, we were key in bringing Great Dane to Brazil a long time ago, 76. So, you know, you got PDF and Brit Aero and all these different companies out there that our economic development folks work with and help them to not only maintain workers, but to help create
And I'm sure
too,
you mentioned Great Dane in Brazil. Well, obviously they had a pretty good experience here because they turned around and brought another plant to Terre Haute. I mean, they're you know, like what, 20 miles away from each other. They've got two facilities here in our area, so they're pretty happy, I would think.
Exactly.
So, and so in, how's the pandemic really affected what you guys do? I mean, I know it's touched everything and it's changed everything in a way, but it's like, what's the biggest thing that's really kind of hit you guys with this?
We've learned a lot about Zoom. with our area agency, it's kind of like the biggest thing is we don't see the people face to face, so it makes it harder. You know, some people thrive on that. They need that touch. We have folks that have not even been out of their houses since the pandemic started. But we talk to them on the phone on a regular basis and help them keep connected. They're still getting their home care. You know, everybody's following those guidelines, but our staff is actually doing everything over the phone. On the economic and community development side, they're going out. I mean, they're seeing people bringing services, you know, helping to bring services into the communities. So the pandemic kind of slowed us down a little bit, but we've, just like everybody else, have learned how to do virtual, how to work from home, move things along and still get things. But it seems like it's picking all back up. Everybody's used to wearing a mask now and going out and doing things just differently.
And Ryan, how's the pandemic affected you as the director, as executive director? Obviously, you're in charge of kind of guiding this ship. So how's that changed your planning for the coming year? I mean, yeah, we have a vaccine now and all that, but we're still a long way away from getting completely back to normal. So how's that changed your planning for the future?
I think You know, I think it's been it's just kind of sped up a lot of the organizational changes that I already had kind of mapped out for our 5-year plan. You know, as Gloria mentioned, we learned to become a virtual office very quickly. We were not before. We were doing things more in a traditional sense where we go out and we do a lot of hands-on, face-to-face work. And now we've pivoted to be able to give services in a virtual manner. As we kind of turn and look to what this year is going to bring and next year is going to bring, I think it's really trying to find ways that we can still engage and connect with folks in a safe manner that everybody feels comfortable in, but still, you know, still has positive outcomes. So how do we connect and engage with community members and community stakeholder events necessarily in a virtual fashion, if we can't get a large crowd together for an input section?
And you guys, I know, have gotten together, and actually your website looks pretty sharp. There's lots of good things on it there, so folks can Google you guys. But it's like, what do you want them to know before we run out of time? What is it you really want folks to know that maybe we haven't touched on yet that you really want them to stick in their head?
So, you know, my number one thing is when you have questions about what resources are available within our region, look us up. Give us a call. You can reach us at thrivewestcentral.com, or you can also call us at 812-238-1561 and reach out to us that way. But when you have questions, especially on the aging side, with a loved one, a neighbor, a family member, just call us. It's no cost to you. All of our resources are typically no cost to anyone, no matter what the question is or what they're looking to do. And so we're able to provide that information and assistance to individuals, to communities, to businesses. So when you have questions, give us a call and we will be more than happy to brainstorm with you and try to come up with a great solution.
Ryan Keller is the executive director of Thrive West Central. Gloria Wednight with us today, the senior business development strategist, aging and disabled services. You got a mouthful there.
Yeah, I know.
You get the extra large business card, don't you? So you can fit it all in. So anyway, thank you folks for being with us today. And again, if you missed any part of today's program, you can go back and listen to it as a podcast. We've got it up on our website right now. We'll see you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.